Verse 17, if you would please. And when he came to himself. That's an interesting statement. I could preach on that thing all night long. I preach as many sermons on the prodigal as any one theme outside marriage and home. There's something about sin will put you in a stupor. And I want you to see this boy was in a sin stupor. Read the Word of God. This is God's Word. And when he came to himself, which means that he was not himself. It was not himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy. I want you to underline that, please. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy. Do you see that? Underline that again. No more worthy to be called thy son. Father, help us a little while this morning. I pray you'd use this simple truth to the hearts of every individual in this room. And Father, if there be a prodigal here, I pray that he would come home today. And Lord, if there would be a prodigal that's out in sin, he'd come home. But Lord, I found a whole lot of prodigals that never left church, never left home. So I pray, Lord, that you would help, dear God, today. Save the soul nearest hell, revive backsliders. We ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to speak on the subject, I am not worthy. Sin will leave you in the stupor. I showed you that just a while ago when he came to himself. He said, I'll arise and go to my father. It's amazing when he said, I'm going to rise, he's going to rise and not go to his friends, but he's going to go to his father. You know the story. I do not have to rehearse the story. But he left the father's will, the father's house, thought that he was tired of the rules and understood that he could do his own thing. And so he wanted what's coming to him, and he left and went into a far country. Y'all know the story. And you know the story how he came back to the father. We have created a society and a culture that feels they are deserving of everything. An entitlement mentality. We believe that everybody owes us something. But I want you to notice this boy who had it all, who gave it all up, before he came back to the father and got it right with the father, he said, I am not worthy. It's amazing that we protest, complain, criticize if we feel that we have been shorted. Pride is at an all-time high, and humility is seldom found even in our churches. We need to understand that all deserve hell. Every one of us in this room deserve hell. I don't care who you are or what your name is or your pedigree or how much money you have. Everybody in this room deserves hell fire. Well, think about that for a minute. If we all deserve hell, anything outside of that, we're not worthy of. So all of us are not worthy. And we have to get saved. And when we've been saved, we understand it's only by the grace and mercy of God Almighty that we're not in hell. I read a story of yesteryear, back in the day, when a black man was standing before a judge, and he was trembling. He was shaking. And the judge said, don't worry, you'll get justice. He said, yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm afraid of. I don't need justice. I need mercy. And could I say this to all of us? None of us need justice, because if we got justice, we'd end up in hell. We all need mercy. So let me say this. Let's go back in time a little bit, and I don't want to run tonight. But there's a long-haired hippie boy that walked in the independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist church like this and sat down. And when I came in, folks were freaking out because of what I looked like. And all of a sudden, when I walked the aisle to get saved, everybody was amening and shouting, and they turned me around and said, those folks have been praying for you for 6 months. Isn't it amazing that when they came by and shook my hand and said that, they received a long-haired, bearded, freaky hippie with open arms. Listen very carefully. No talking. Listen very carefully. Amen. They received me. And that's the way it should be in the local New Testament soul-winning church that we're gathering up. I used to fish commercial. I told you that at the beginning of the hour. And when we would fish, sometimes we'd pull in the trawls. We'd catch a lot of strange stuff, not necessarily what we need to catch. We'd shrimp a lot of times. I'd get all kind of stuff out of the Gulf. And when we cast the gospel net, we're going to get a lot of strange stuff. In fact, the gospel light attracts a lot of strange bugs. But I'm simply saying that when, and here I was, man. And by the way, listen, that church received me. I didn't have a good haircut, didn't dress right, but they received me. So I want to ask you a question, church. Why is it that we're so compassionate and loving upon those who come from the world? But many times we're not on our own who go out and the prodigals that come back to our churches. This boy said, I am not worthy. Let's take some observation from this story, because you can preach it different type of ways, but I want you to take some observation from the story and try to help some of you. Number one, I want you to look at it. It's comforting to know that the father didn't hold out on the boy. When the boy said, I'll arise and go to my father, he forgave him freely and instantly. Preacher, I'm convinced that sometimes when our prodigals come home, we put them at an arm's distance and we keep them and sometimes shun them to the point where they don't think they can come home. In our local New Testament churches, I understand, and please don't try to lecture me after this, about how they need to come and prove themselves. I want to show you the story, because this boy didn't come prove anything. He was accepted freely, immediately, when he came back to the Father. And when our prodigals come home, and you will have prodigals, we just had our a big day during the spring, preacher. It was the craziest thing I've had in 37 years I pastored there. I'm sitting there preaching. I'm looking around this auditorium in the balcony all downstairs. I'm looking around. I'm going, good night. Preacher, there was at least 15 to 20 prodigals, some of them I hadn't seen in 20 years. I couldn't believe it. I've never had that many come back at one service. Some of them stayed, came back. Some of them did, and they went back to the world. But I couldn't believe it. How many had gone away? And I think what they're doing, preacher, is they're coming home after several years just to see if there is a home. Y'all look at me and listen to me very carefully. That father and mother didn't go out into the pig pen with the boy like we're seeing today. Many fathers and mothers following their children out of the will of God. They stayed home so there'd be a home for the boy to come back to. We got a bunch of prodigals going to the world, and then the parents following the prodigals out in the world. Don't do that. You stay home where that prodigal can come home. Keep this church right. Keep it the way it's been all of these years, and let the prodigals come home. And when they come home, may the church welcome them with open arms. I want you to notice this story is not in the Bible just because God was bored and put some black words on white pieces of paper. He put it that for our admonition. And when that boy came home, the father didn't hold out on him. Was he truly repenting? Some do and some don't. But for some reason, I don't have a beeper on me telling me if they mean it or not. What I am showing you from this story, that forgiveness should be immediate. Listen, this is a great lesson we need to learn, that God the Father just expects that when one comes from the far country, that he's sincere about coming home. And brethren, there's going to be times, and it's been already, I know it has, and there may be some prodigals in this room today, but I want to say in the future, you're going to have them come back, and they're watching you and see how you're going to respond to when they come back, to see if they really even want to come back. You must understand, when you go out into sin, you're in a sin stupor. When you come back, things are different. But they're looking for somebody that would receive them. You know, the great thing, when I got saved, preacher, I had old deacon. Old gray-haired deacon said, you come sit with us. I got to thinking, well, he ain't embarrassed of me. Everybody else is, but he's not. And I'd sit with him. Bob Smith would preach, and boy, he'd preach on everything, man. He'd preach on long hair, and I had that long hair, and that old deacon would flip my hair. Now, some of you old ex-hippies know what I'm talking about. And I was a ball player, man. I'd rather fight than eat. I have changed that philosophy. But anyway, and this guy flipping my hair, man, I wanted to jerk his stinking arm off and beat him to death with it. Flipping my hair. And old preacher just kept bearing down and bearing down and bearing down. I'm simply saying that it's amazing what was going on in my life at the point, but he was not embarrassing me. And I'm telling you right now that when a prodigal comes home and he wants to arise and come to the Father, the Father just expects that he was coming in sincerity. He was coming home to do right. God expects this. And the Bible says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. I have seen now, pastoring a church 37 years, I've watched some of the prodigals come back, and I've watched some people just stand there. People make asinine statements like, well, the church's going to fall in. You don't say that to a person that's backslidden and trying to come back to the Father. You don't say, where have you been? What have you been up to? Boy, you don't look like you did when you left. You don't make those statements. If he's coming back for a reason, folks. If you see him out there, by the way, there's not a time that I see any of our prodigals out in the world that I don't treat them with kindness and respect. They know where I stand. And you that listen to me on the radio know where I stand. And I have no friends when it comes to this pulpit. And my daughter's here and she can tell you that. I have no friends when it comes to this pulpit. I'm going to preach the word of God to everybody no matter what your last name is. But bless God, in public, I treat you with respect and love and kindness, compassion. And when the prodigals come home, I do the same. Do they mean it? Some do and some don't, preacher. But the Bible said the goodness of God. Are y'all with me? The Father never held out them. I can see them, preacher, as they sat on that porch drinking sweet tea. I said sweet tea. And bacon. Right. And rocking. And waiting. Y'all listen to me carefully. The problem is some of you have never had a prodigal, but you will one day. And sitting there, rocking, wondering, waiting, seeing and watching and waiting on that child to come home. Praying. Him and mama praying every day, dear God, would you please send him home? We want him back. Y'all listen to me carefully. I have whole sermons on the fatted calf, the ring, the robe, the shoes. The man didn't have that because he had them in his closet. He had them because he knew one day God was going to bring that boy home. And when you fatten a calf up, he kept fattening a calf up because he knew one day we're going to have a party. Because that boy's coming back. Are you with me now? So why would he shun that boy if he came? Did you read the story as I read it? He saw him coming and said, Mama, is that him? You know, daddies, there's something about us. We just kind of, we have the children, we work and we pay the bills, but we don't know the children like mamas know the children. A mama knows the very footfalls of her child. And then Rock said, is that him coming down the lane, Mom? No, sweetheart, that's not him. All them hired servants around there working. Finally, one day, the sun was setting. They're sitting out there drinking their sweet tea. She's popping, that's him. I mean, them old, you know what I'm talking about. Them old farm boys have got a certain strut, you know. kind of like Brother Ross. Anyway. Right? They walk. That's him, Papa. Look at what the book said. I didn't write it. I'm just trying to preach it to you today. He ran to him. He didn't go to the gate and stop the gate. He said, son, you ain't coming home until you tell me what you've been doing. Come on, talk to me, folks. I'm telling you right now, he didn't do that. He accepted him freely. I'm trying to say that he didn't hold out on him. And the second thing I want to say is it's interesting that nowhere in that book you will see where in this passage, where it's, no word is mentioned in the passage about forgiveness. It was already understood. I want you to look at it. Nowhere was it mentioned about forgiveness. It was already understood. It was just talked about confession. He confessed. Preaching, that's what we want more than anything. We want at least the prodigals to say, I'm wrong. If you don't say, listen, if you don't admit you're a sinner, you can never get saved. And the only way you ever got saved is said, I'm not worthy, and you came and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the only way a prodigal will ever get right is to say, I'm not worthy. Are you with me now? Look at the scriptures, point it out. It never talks about forgiveness. It doesn't talk about forgiveness because it's understood. I'll arise and go to my father. And when that man saw that boy, he ran out and fell on him and kissed his neck. Forgiveness is understood after confession. We should always stand ready to forgive. My sister was a renowned sculptor, and she did a lot in pottery. And I understand, preacher, that when you're making pottery, and some of you know far more than I do about this, maybe if you mess with it, but when you're making pottery, it's so easy to make the outward vessel. The potters claim that the inside of the vessel is what's really hard to form and make. Are you with me now? It's good for us, and it's very easy for us to make sure that everything is spit shine. Got a haircut right, look right, talk right, act right, taste right. But inside, we're full of dead man's bones. There's as many prodigals in our church pews as there are out in the world. Trust me when I say this. The inside is harder to get right than the outside. Because we know how to put on the dog and put on the show, but sometimes the insides are not right. Are y'all with me today? Say amen. We had a boy out in the world, but we had a boy in home that stayed home, that never went out in the world, was rotten. The inside, are you with me now? And that's what it's trying to say. Folks, if you don't get anything out of this message, get this, that there's somebody that never went into the world, that stayed home, was as wrong with God as the one that went out, because he wouldn't even receive the brother who came and tried to get it right with the father. And how in the world can you be right with the father when you're wrong with the brother that's trying to get right with the father? This boy was coming back, and there's no mention of forgiveness, only confession. I was preaching out of the East Coast several years ago, preacher, and Kim and I were out there, and it was on a Sunday. I gave a Sunday up, and as I did here, and I got a phone call from an evangelist out of our place that we had reached, and he said, "Preacher, I cannot believe that you took my phone call. Would you please, please, can I see you? I want to meet you. I want to see you face to face. Would you please meet me?" I said, "Brother, I'm out at the East Coast." And I said, I hadn't heard from him in 6 years. I said, "I'm in the East Coast preaching." I said, "I'll be flying into Dallas, Texas on tomorrow. Kim and I on Monday starting a conference there." And he said, "I'm in Houston. I'll drive." He drove all the way from Houston, all the way to Dallas, to sit in a motel lobby over a table and look at me, tears flowing down his face, saying, "Preacher, would you please forgive me? You dug me out of the gangs. I was a gangbanger. You dug me out of the gangs. You got me saved, got me baptized. Let me come to your Christian school." Actually, you went with Carlos. You went to school with Carlos. Went to the Christian school. You never let even some of our church members go to Christian school. You let me, a public school boy who went to school, a public school, every day with a King James Bible, a handful of tracts, hand them out to teachers, professors, all of them, the principal, all of them. Almost got kicked out for it. I never let anybody outside come in. God said, "You're not going to let that boy in. He's doing everything he can out in the public school trying to reach folks, and you got kids in your Christian schools not that spiritual." I said, "Lord, you know my rules." He said, "Yeah, I know, they're stupid." So anyway, I let the boy in, and when I let him in, he did good, didn't he, baby? Remember one time I came to the chapel, and all of our boys were into stuff. Your two brothers were kind of in, then some boys are just doing, you know, the boys thing that you got to go in there. And anyway, and I was sitting there, man, I was preaching, man, sweat beads were rolling off their head. And old Carlos was just sitting there, just calm as a cucumber. All of our boys in the school was into this little thing they had to be punished with. Carlos never was involved. This boy got saved out of the gangs, and he appreciated salvation. He didn't get mixed up in it. Are y'all with me now? Good boy. And when God called him to preach, he then traveled with Joe Boyd for several years and then graduated from Providence Baptist College. I bought him a tent. I bought him two tents, two vans, two trailers to travel, preaching in the Spanish south of the border and to thousands and thousands. Joe Boyd gave him his giant tent. That boy had three tents, had it all going on, man. And it was all because we reached him. But all of a sudden, we had the Spanish split, and the preacher knows something about it, had 700 out of our Spanish department go across town and join a split that I had years and years before that of our Spanish church. Joined another 500 over there. So the largest church in Illinois, Independent Baptist Church, is Northwest Bible Baptist Church. The second largest is our split. You'll get that by freight. And this boy told me, he said, "Preacher," and he went with the split, by the way, and that's what he was trying to confess. He said, "Preacher, would you please forgive me?" I said, "I already done that." He said, "How could you after all that I did to you? I turned my back on you and followed the split and went against you. and followed somebody I shouldn't have followed. He said, for 6 years, I have been under conviction. For 6 years, he said, I tried to preach and it was hard to preach. Had a lot of people saved, had a lot of people come. But in my heart, I knew I was not right. Began to read Jeremiah chapter 1 and 2 and then finally got to 3 and understood the only way I could get right with God is to come face you. And I feared you. I didn't want to face you because of all that you did for me and how I treated you. I couldn't believe what I've done. Would you please forgive me? And I said, it's done. Now see what most people say, well, let me tell you what I've done for you. And by the way, everything I told you I did for him, I didn't throw in his face. What I did do is I stood at the table, hugged his neck and said, I forgive you. Tears running down his face. He said, could I drive now to Elgin and stand before the church and ask forgiveness? I said, you may. Preacher, he stood in our pulpit and he said this. He said, folks, I want you to forgive me. I've asked God to forgive me and he has. I asked the pastor to forgive me and he has. He said, I'm asking you to forgive me, please. And he said, I was more loyal to opportunity than I was to principle. Would you please forgive me? That was a great statement. I saw him at family camp. In fact, just yesterday, he and his family are doing well, preaching all over great crowds. Are you with me now? The Bible said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Are you with me now? So we see that not only is comforting to know that the father didn't hold out on that boy, he just received him freely and instantly. But he is also understanding that there was no mention of forgiveness. It was understood. The third thing I want to say quickly is divine forgiveness is not for the good that we may do, but the bad that we have done. It is not our righteousness, but his righteousness that we need. God can't wait for us to get right and worthy, because I'm preaching on I'm not worthy. He can't wait till we're worthy to receive salvation. He can't wait till we're worthy to receive the prodigal back. The truth of the matter is we just got to come as we are. We sing those songs, but sometimes we don't mean those songs. I'm just simply saying that you need to just come back as you are. God is waiting and wanting for you to come right and get it right. And the truth of the matter is he can't wait for us to get right, then come home. You come home and get it right, and then God will straighten you out. Are you with me now? We don't clean up and then come. We come as we are, just as I am, without one plea. The boy didn't clean up, make all things right before he came to the Father. He just came as he was. Y'all look at me now. The thing about it, we read our Bible for assignment so we can check the little boxes so we can tell the preacher we read through the Bible that year. But I want you to look at it. He was in the pig pen, and if you've never slopped hogs, you've missed a blessing. I used to run 4-H pigs, man. That's a blessing. He was up to his knees in muck and mire and hog manure. A Jew boy. You got to get it all in context. A Jew boy. Not supposed to be anywhere around swine flesh. Much less feeding them. Watch me. Much less would eat what they didn't eat. And no man gave it to him. Read it. Think about that for me. Preacher, I don't know. I didn't see anywhere. I know the Bible doesn't say, but I don't think he went back to the motel room and showered up. I believe he came from, when he said, I will arise, that's what he did. He got out of that pig pen with the muck and the mire and the hog manure smelling like a stinking pig, and he came back to the Father. Y'all need to read the story. The Father grabbed him, fell on his neck, and kissed him, and he smelled like a stinking pig. Sometimes when our prodigals come home, they're going to look like a pig. And you can't get embarrassed of them, and you shouldn't be embarrassed of them. And you ought to, all of you ought to say, they're going to come sit by me. You come sit by me. They're going to smell funny and look funny. They're going to come in and tattooed and freaked out and all that other stuff, preacher. But we need to understand something very clearly, that we need to understand when they come back, you need to receive them as they come, because they're coming from the world and coming from the pig pen. You need to understand that. Are you with me? We sing the invitation song, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou didst meet me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Well, if we're going to sing that, we got to live that. If the Father had to wait until he made it right, I probably would have never got saved. I said it before, he sure broke up a good party. I was sure having fun when I got saved for a season. That's all the way, sin's always for a season, preacher. But when preachers preach about how sin is not fun, that's not true. The devil will always make it fun and always have that luring effect. But when I got saved, bless God, God turned this Cajun boy around, and I came just as I was. And I'm glad that Bob Smith grabbed me and turned me around. When he called my name, preacher, he called my name, it shocked me. And he said, these folks have been praying for you. And this church about this size, he said, they've been praying for you for 6 months. It shocked me that these folks would love somebody they didn't know. And then when they saw him, the men grabbed their wallets and the women their children. Because, man, you talk about the monster out of the Black Lagoon, man, when I came out of those swamps. But I'm glad somebody loved me enough. Amen. Amen. I'm simply saying all the boy had to do is come, confess his wrong, and come. Dr. James Crumpton was a friend of mine. He told a story a long time ago of an old slave owner that went, and a lot of times in revivals would come to those towns, and a lot of the townspeople would come and go and hear the evangelist. Sometimes the black folk and sometimes the slave would sit on the perimeter outside of the tent and listen to the gospel, and a lot of them got saved. And this old proud master, he heard the gospel, and he was under conviction, and he went to Sam and asked Sam. He said, "Sam." "Yes, sir, boss." He said, "I've been going to that revival." "Yes, sir, boss, I've been seeing you there." He said, "The preacher been talking about being saved, going to heaven." He said, You're a Christian, Sam?" He said, "Yes, sir, boss, you knows I'd be a Christian." He said, "Well, what I have to do to get born again?" He said, "That's the easiest, master." He was over in the hog pen slopping the hogs. He said, "What you need to do, master?" He said, "You need to come over here in the hog slop." He said, "Gets down on your all fours, confess you a sinner, and you need to be saved, and Jesus Christ will save you." He said, "Sam, you're crazy. That's the only way you're going to get saved, boss." He turned around. He knew how proud that master was. Turned around and he said, "Next night at the revival, heard the same thing, the gospel." Little old master came back to Sam the next day. He said, "Sam, tell me one more time what I must do." He said, "Boss, I'm telling you right now, the only way you're going to ever get saved is to come over here in this hog slop with me right here. Get on your own fours and tell the Lord Jesus you're a sinner and you want to get saved." He said, "Sam, hold down the fence." Old Sam went over there and held that fence down. And old boss man started to swing his leg. He said, "Master, you ain't got to do that. You just got to be willing to." Yes, sir. And see, that's what we're missing. We just got to be willing to. And you know, when a prodigal comes home, he just has to be willing to. But he's looking, "Watch me, older brother. Watch me, older brother." Some of the older brothers need to get right with God today out of this church right now, because you know in your heart right now, if they come home, you're going to X them. You're going to watch them. You used to be friends with them now, but you're going to X them. It happens in every independent Baptist church I've ever known on this planet Earth. It's crazy, folks. When they come back, they're looking, they're wanting, and they're wanting somebody to accept them. Thank God there's always those in the congregation that has enough compassion and love to embrace them. Why don't you have them come sit with you? You say, "Well, I don't know if they mean it or not." I'm not quite sure if you mean it. So just think about that for a minute. D.L. Moody was visiting a prison in Ohio when the governor was giving out pardons, preacher. And he was standing, had a whole assembly, all the prisoners, and the governor called out a name. He had a pardon for Reuben Johnson. Nobody stood. "Reuben Johnson, going to give him freedom, pardon." The prison chaplain knew who Reuben was. He went to the room and said, "Reuben, he's calling your name, man. Get up. That's a pardon, man. You're free. Go get your pardon." Old Reuben got up real slow, walked up there, and took the paper from the governor, went and sat down. All of a sudden, of course, the assembly was over with, and the festivity was over. They said, "All right, everybody in line." And all the prisoners got in line to go back to their cell block. Old Reuben Johnson got in line. The chaplain ran up to him and said, "Reuben, you don't understand, man. You've been pardoned. You're free. You're going to walk out free. Get out of line." You know, sometimes, preacher, that's the way I feel some church members and even prodigals. You've been pardoned. You've been free. Don't live under the guilt of sin anymore. We have folks that come back, prodigals try to come back, and they're still under the guilt of sin because nobody will receive them and tell them, "You can step out of line. You're free. You're free." sometimes we feel that we're not free, that forgiveness is not final, but forgiveness is final, my friend. All of our sins have been forgiven for all time and can never be used against us anymore in judgment. Read a story, preacher, you like this. Read a story about a little boy that, when I read the story, I said, man, that's me. He did so bad in school at the beginning, you know, made some one-legged A's, you know what I'm talking about, made some F's, and boy, he was just embarrassed. Well, teacher sat him down. I remember I had a teacher sit me down one time. Mrs. Daigle, she was about this short, and she was as wide as she was tall. God being honest, she had hair, black hair on her arms that long. Brother, I never seen anything like it in my life. She had a mustache. She had a mustache. Well, them Cajun women, you know how they are. But anyway, so, and I remember she used to tell me, she said, Keith, come up here. And I get there. She said, grab your ankles and put your head on the chalk tray. What is that? So she put my head against the block wall under the chalk tray. Because when she gave it to you, she didn't want you to rise up. And I hit my stinking up and scrub my head on the wall. Well, that's why I'm like this, folks. I mean, I visited her so much, right? But boy, she'd come right here, boy, and she'd just put it on you. She had a talk with me one time and told me, you ain't going to run my class. And I did turn around. I read this story about this little boy. He was doing bad, made a bunch of F's and some bad grades. And the teacher sat him down and said, son, you can do better than this. I have confidence in you. And it really helped the boy. And the boy made a turnaround, started really doing good in school. Of course, they had the parent teacher people came and they met. And then all of a sudden, they had little tables back in the day where you can go check your children's work out. And boy, he was sitting there nervous because he knew how bad he did at the first of the year. I mean, he was nervous. And they were going to see all those F's at the beginning when they start flipping through his books. And so they was waiting, and parents went over to his table, had his name there and all his books, and they started going through his workbooks. And mom and dad started smiling and shaking their head. And then they had finished, and they were going to have coffee and cookies, and looked at him, smiled, and he goes, what in the world? What was that about? So they went to, and he ran over to his table to look. And when he started flipping his books, he found out that his teacher had torn all the bad pages out. All the ugly pages. Could I say that tonight? I'll talk about all the bad pages that was ripped out of my book. And all that the Father sees is pretty decent grades. And that's what God does to us. He tears all the ugly pages out. And when you get saved, that's why the Bible says all things have become new. My past life, I can look back on every now and again and take a glance back, preacher, only to say, thank God for where I came from. I don't like to talk about it. My daughter's here. She can tell you that I don't talk about my testimony hardly at all. I'll hit and miss a little bit, but I'll never talk about it at all. Don't know if I will tonight. I'll say as much as I can. But I'm telling you right now that God tore all the ugly pages out of my book, thank God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Our past is our past. So let me ask you a question. If we're going to receive guys off the world, out of the world, that come and get saved, that look like they fell out the back end of MTV, why in God's name would we not receive some of our own that went out into the world, got sucked in, got snared by the devil, and when they finally come to their own and come to the and say, I'll arise, and I'm going back to blessed hope. There's a preacher that it loves me. I remember when those people used to love me and sing the little Sunday school songs. I thought about that this morning in Sunday school, how those little children remember those songs. Even when they go in, if they go out in the world, they remember those songs. I know a place where a preacher preaches hard, but he loved me. And I'll go talk to Brother Ross. He'll help me. There's a place I can get help anytime I want it. I know where to go. Or can they say that? And when I come back, there's some people in that church going to be fighting for me to sit with them. because they're going to receive me just like I am. I am not worthy. The truth is this, preacher, when we get saved, we rise to a level where we think we're better than everybody else, and we're not. We ain't nothing. This filthy, slimy, no good for nothing stuff that's attached to this soul will send us straight to hell as sure as I'm here if we're not careful. And the truth of the matter, it'll destroy us if we're not careful. And yet we think we're better than somebody else. Why do you think you're better than somebody else just because you have a few dollars in the bank and live in a better home and drive a better car? Why do you think you're better because you sit in the church? Like, folks, we're no better than them. It's just truth of the matter is the good grace of God that we're here today, just simple as that. And when they come back, will we please be humble enough? If they're humble enough to come and face you after they've done and been, and coming back in embarrassment, most of them are coming back embarrassed, why don't we be humble enough to receive them? Because we're not worthy. And the reason they're coming back is because they're saying, I'm not worthy. Why don't we show them that there's a Father that's willing to forgive them if they'll just come confess, and a church that'll love them? Because Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord. That prodigal story is such a wonderful story. It was not put in the Bible just because you want to tell a story. You put it in the Bible for us to understand that this is actually going to happen. How sad it is sometimes. Or prodigals say, I can't go back because of the preacher. I can't go back because of the church. I don't believe that blessed hope is like that, but I believe there might be some folks that are. Maybe we get it right today. There might be some prodigal here that needs to come home today. You're away from the Father. You've been out in the world. You need to come. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and on the third day rose again according to the Scriptures. You can come and be saved today if you don't know you're going to heaven when you die. There's others who might be here, might be members, but they know they're like the older brother. How jealous he was. You never killed a fatted calf for me. And I got to thinking how, then he said, yeah, your boy goes out and spends his living with harlots. I got to thinking the other day, how did he know that? Did he go spying, or was he jealous, or? Lord, sometimes us older brothers that stay at home, sometimes if we're not careful, we're the real prodigal. So I pray that you'd bless the invitation as you can, Lord. Be somebody here without Christ, may they come. Some folks that might have just a little different taste on this, Lord, that may they will come and get it right and say, I'm going to make sure that I'm the one who greets the prodigal. I'm the one that's going to be kind to the prodigal. I'm the one that's going to show compassion when the prodigals come home. I pray you'd bless and help the invitation on as you can. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you're here and say, preacher, somewhere along the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about this matter. Pray for me. I want to be the right type of Christian. I don't want to be like the older brother. I want to be the right kind of Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Would you lift your hand right now? I just want to pray for you. God bless you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Several hands. Thank you. Because sometimes we want to grab and wring their necks, don't we? They knew better. Why didn't they do better? Well, we rule out the devil, and the devil is real. He can suck people out, boy. He sure can. I wonder if you're here and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not even saved. If I were to drop dead out of my seat, I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me. Preacher, please pray for me. Would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. That's me, preacher. Please pray for me. I do not know. I want to know. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Would you please raise your hand? I want to pray for you. We'll not embarrass you, but we'll pray for you. I wonder if you're here and say, preacher, I've been saved, but have not been baptized, have not followed the Lord and believer's baptism. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Say, preacher, that's me. I've been saved, but I've not followed the Lord and believer's baptism. Thank you, hon, in the back. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You might be here and say, preacher, I have been saved, baptized in a church like faith, like to join Blessed Hope, a place that will give me that hope. You ought to come today. Don't judge this church by my preaching. The pastor did not preach. You come back and hear the pastor if you're visiting. You come back and hear him. But you make sure that you come. If there are decisions you need to make today, you make sure that you do. Let's stand to our feet, please. Father, bless, I pray, this simple message by this simple messenger. Help us, dear Lord, to be right in our hearts and minds about prodigals, dear God. I pray that you'd bless and help now. The invitation as you can in Jesus' name, and amen.